for this morning. Let's pray. What a privilege it is, Heavenly Father, to live in the time in which we do, the history of your plan, to have the opportunity, Father, to be transformed into the image of Christ simply by walking by faith in your Spirit. And he does this to us, for us. Father, we pray that this morning will be worship that will be a sweet savor, sweet fragrance, Heavenly Father, acceptable to you in the glory of your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Let's begin with number one. Let's begin with hymn number one, Holy, Holy, Holy. Hymn number one, and we will sing the first, second, and fourth verse. First, second, and fourth verse. Holy, holy, holy. Let's stand and sing. Okay, we will resume our normal schedule. This is Tuesday night. We will continue our study in the book of Revelation. We are still in the second section of that study. And then on Wednesday night, stress, anxiety, and depression, and why Christians experience and suffer that, and why there is no need to do so, and it is possible to have a life without it, and how that is about. We're looking at that from various passages of Scripture, so we will continue in that mode. Does anyone have anything we need to come together in prayer? I'm not aware of what's going on in a week. We'll continue to be in prayer for one another. Remember Paul's exhortation. People reach a point, especially in the body of Christ, reach a point where they're going to walk by faith. They enter into the spiritual warfare, and it is the most difficult of battles, and therefore we need to be in prayer for one another instead of judging one another, attacking, maligning, and separating, and evaluating, and whatever you want to call it. What we ought to do is to be in prayer for one another, encouraging one another, so continue to please do that through the week and in your prayers. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. This deals with is our study and performance. We do not give in a performance standard where God is going to be impressed with our performance and how much or how sacrificially we give. We give is simply responding to the leading of God the Holy Spirit. It is my responsibility to encourage you simply to walk in the Spirit, and then it is up to your relationship with him to guide you into giving. God has given this humble assembly so many wonderful opportunities of spreading the gospel in so many different ways, and we'll just continue to put ourselves there and let him do whatever he sees fit. With this in mind, let's pray. Often when we come to this facet of worship, Heavenly Father, we are drawn to think of the two great spheres of freedom that are involved, the political, economic freedom that we do enjoy in America, the freedom, Father, to do with our lives and our resources as we see fit, to live and worship, marry. And, Father, we are most thankful for this freedom. We appreciate those and are thankful for those throughout the history of this country who have served this country. Many have died on the battlefield in providing this freedom. Many have given their lives by living in the military. This very hour, while we sit here and use this political freedom, our personnel, Father, there are many in this personnel of this country who are in war. We appreciate and value this freedom. Right down, Heavenly Father, to the local policemen and firemen, we are most appreciative. Heavenly Father, we cross this freedom with the great freedom with where we have been set free to the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. It is in this sphere of freedom, Father, that we have eyes to see how to use our political economic freedom. It is in this sphere of freedom that we have eyes to see where to worship and marry and live and what to do with our money. Father, we pray now that you will receive these offerings and that you will use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Yes. Okay, give me just a little bit. All right, let's open the scriptures, if you will, to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. One of the things that you find that occurs when you walk by faith in the Spirit is a love of learning the Scriptures. But never turn it into a performance system before God. You learn so much and He does so much. It's just another form of works. Some people believe you give so much, or you serve so much, or you emote, or you learn enough doctrine. And all of these are performance standards before God, and they don't work. But it's one of the wonderful things to open the Scriptures and to learn and to see and allow the Spirit to use the things that are in the Scriptures. We are in the midst of studying the myth of money. So let's prepare ourselves with a word of prayer that the Spirit can open our eyes. Something that, as we've seen with the Greek word here, a lot of us hide inside, that we really have this desire for more and more money. And it's one of the strong myths of the flesh and what money will provide, so that our eyes can be open to these things, especially of ourselves. Often I find that when we study things, especially like we're doing in stress, anxiety, and depression, boy, I wish so-and-so was here. Boy, that really applies to them. And all the teaching always applies to someone else, but never me. But we have to allow the Spirit to open our own souls and see the things that are going on, so that there can be that continual transforming into the image of Christ. So let's prepare ourselves by prayer, testing ourselves to see if we're trusting the Spirit, to open our eyes to see the things, first of all, people, as they apply to us individually in our spiritual life. Let's pray. Father, we pray now that Your Spirit will open our eyes to see the things that You'd have us to see in regard to money. There is so much in the Scriptures in regard to wealth, to having gold and silver, exchange of wealth. Pray, Father, that Your Spirit will teach us, open our eyes to ourselves, that we, Father, can continue to be transformed into the image of Your Son, to fulfill the purpose in which we're here, to enjoy our relationship with You, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, what we're looking at in John 6, we're looking at the feeding of the 5,000, and we're going to compare that with the feeding of the 4,000. But right now, before we continue that, we've gotten off on a little journey, and I've taken a little more time than I would have normally thought I would, but the response and tapes and emails and things on the myth of money, and I guess in a sense it's kind of like the line or the phrase that George Patton used in the movie Patton, give him 1 gallon of gas and he'll go 200 more miles. So give me a little encouragement and I'll stretch it out a few more classes. And if it's what needs to be taught and understood, and there are so many things about it as we've already seen in Scripture. But John's reply, or Philip's reply to the Lord and what they were going to do about feeding the 5,000, he immediately went to money, and he immediately said, there is not enough money. There is simply not enough money to feed these people. Whenever we deal with anything on the earth, we're going to hear ourselves saying that. There's not enough money. There's not enough time. There's not enough love. There's not enough commitment. There's just not enough of whatever it is. And this is certainly true in the area of money. There's not enough money to solve my problems. There's not enough money to get this done. There's not enough money to get that done. And that brought us to this whole study of the myth of money. And that brought us to now where we are in our last passage we're going to look at in 1 Timothy. Let's again read, since it's been a week that you've had it up. Well, actually 2 weeks, because last week we did our communion study. So let's just read to get it going and get your mind and your soul back to where we are in our study. And we'll start reading in 1 Timothy 6. Start reading in verse 3. If anyone, and normally it deals with the believer, advocates a different doctrine, and does not agree with sound words. And sound words, of course, are, we trust him who does the work, who does the doing. Those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, which, of course, is simply trusting him with nothing that we can perform to make ourselves to be godly. He is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words. You know, disputing about words is disputing about doctrines, disputing about building the whole thing, and you're ready to fight, rather than the simply understanding of faith. And we've noted this in, when we first just got here, but just to remind you, out of which arises, when you get involved in any kind of performance, get involved in anything like this, it involves envy, strife, even abusive language, and these are believers against one another, and evil suspicions. You start suspecting one another. Well, I don't know if they're really saved. I don't know if they're this. I don't know if they're that. All the things that we're not going to do with one another if we fulfill the commandment to love one another as I have loved you. Verse 5. Not only those things, envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicion, and constant friction between men of depraved mind, and by this depraved mind, and despised of the truth, deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. In other words, they're going to use their spiritual, what they call their spiritual life, their religious position and momentum for personal gain. And that's what they're using it for. And multitude of preachers, multitude of people, Christians, do that. Now, verse 6, godliness actually is a means of great gain. Great gain. Not in the way that they have been using it, but it is a means of great gain when accompanied by that all-important word, contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. When is this true? When you're walking in the spiritual life. If this is what God has taken me, there is contentment. Now we begin our study in verse 9, and where we are, let's just read the passage, verse 2 verses. But those who want to get rich, that makes it happen. If you want to get rich, take a look at what is ahead of you. Fall into temptation and a snare. And a snare, as we're going to see this morning, is a horrible thing. This is going to be one of the great reasons why, strong reasons why, a lot of Christians end up in stress, anxiety, and depression. Because the more you are in that snare and it doesn't come through, the greater the more anxiety and depression sets in. So this snare is a very horrible and dangerous thing. Fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires. Now look what all this is going to do, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. What kind of destruction? Well, the most important kind for us, spiritual. Spiritual destruction. Even if you get the money, the struggles of destruction is spiritual. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. Some, by longing for it, some believers, by longing for money, have wandered away from the faith, from walking by faith, and pierced themselves with many a pain. And we'll see what all of that is involved. But here's your life. Now let's go back to verse 9. But those believers who want to get rich. Now remember, the word to want is not the strong desire. See, a lot of Christians, we fool ourselves and say, well, that's not me. I don't have this obsession. But if there's just this little burning inside, I could just win the lottery this time. I could just get rich. Well, that's what this word means. This word isn't talking about somebody. That strong word is used if you want to follow Christ. This is the weaker word for desire. So don't count yourself out if you're not burning with this desire. But if it's always on your mind, if I just had more money, if I could just get rich, if I could just win the $80 million lottery, if I could just do this or that, then my problems would be over. Okay, that's the first thing. You're not content with who you are in Christ. When we live that way in the flesh, we're not content with who we are in Christ. Contentment. It's a great issue in this whole ideal of the myth of money. Now, what is the myth of money? We didn't go over that. The myth of money, very simply stated, the myth of money is money will solve my problems. I have problems, and if I had money, it would solve them. Money will make me happy. If I had money, I could have a better home, car, whatever. So it will make me happy, and money will also give me security. It will bring about some security in life. And so all of these things start becoming the reality in our, if not even in our conscious mind, subconsciously, because of the society that we live in. And we're conscious of security, extremely so in America. We're conscious of these things, and we think money's going to do it. We're not content with who we are in Christ. Secondly, we live in the realm of the earth. Now, those of you that have been studying stress, anxiety, and depression, we studied Colossians chapter 3, set your mind on the things that are above, seeking the things that are above, not the things that are on earth. When we start thinking of the things that are on earth and live in the flesh, wealth or money becomes a primary burning desire to have this security. So, but those believers who want to get rich, now, here's a picture of your life. Fall into temptation. The first thing that happens to you, you fall into temptation. This is the Greek word is graphic. It's a graphic word describing what happens when you believe the money myth. You fall into temptation. The Greek word for temptation here is a word we've already studied in John. We studied this in Matthew. It's remember, the same Greek word can be used for good and bad. You can't say, well, every time this Greek word is there, it's good, or every time this Greek word is there, it's bad. No, this word is used in both cases. It's the same word we have been dealing with. In the Gospel of John, we saw it was good. Here, it's for your failure. Those who harbor in their souls the wish to be rich. So what's going to happen? You fall into the money myth trap. Those believers who want to get rich, think about it all the time, as it's going to happen in America, secretly dream to win the big lottery, secretly win to get a lot of money in one way or another, and we have this false hope. It's one of the reasons when they first started the lottery, they being the government that people buy, and it's drawn, I think, on Saturday, my objection was not against gambling. My objection was a government like American government here putting up a false hope to its people. It's not what a government's supposed to do. All our government should do is to create an environment where we can live in freedom and choose for ourselves how we want to live. But the evil that has been done now is that our own government has now put this thing up there that creates a false hope in multitudes of people. There are people who have very little money, but if you go down and the lottery is big enough, go stand at some liquor store, some 7-Eleven where they sell it. Just stand over and watch. Watch how much money. And what's it based on? It's not even gambling. Now, I'm going to be criticized for this, but I can't worry about it. You know, at least if you're playing poker, you're playing poker. You get to draw cards and throw them down, and you're in a hat. This isn't even dead. You're just going up, giving them money, and it's just a false hope. I might hit it. And boy, it'll solve all my problems. My wife will love me, or this woman will marry me, or this will happen, or that will happen, and I can drive a car. I can get even with all those rich people, because I can be one. On and on and on. To fall into this myth. And people, what is interesting here, let's go from the government to God. Is that the view of God? That he's holding out this little hope of money, and that's what God has for you, for you to solve your problems, to cause you to be happy? He does the same thing our government does? Not at all. It's not what kind of God he is. It's not what kind of God he is at all, playing on this flesh desire created in the flesh. Okay, the money myth is very big in America. I'm talking about Christians in America. Many Christians have been charmed, deceived by the money myth. But those who want to get rich, now here's what's going to happen, fall into temptation. This is the main verb. This is the main verb. The main verb is not want to get rich. That's not the main verb. This is the main verb. Fall into temptation. Present active indicative. So as you have this inner desire to be rich, here's what's going along with the disaster. You're going to fall into temptation. And this is temptation to sin. This is not of the Holy Spirit. This is not good. This is not of the Spirit. Temptation here, let's face it, is a solicitation to sin. Now, we'll talk about that in a moment. You might say, well, I don't sin. Well, let's find out what sin is. But this is a solicitation to sin for money. And you'd be surprised how many believers sin to gain money. Far away from things like stealing and lying, conning, all this type of activity that goes on. Satan orchestrates many situations to tempt the believer to become rich. Now, what happens at that point? What happens is you stop trusting him for happiness, for solving of your problem, for your security. And once you stop trusting him, people, that's what sin is. You may not go into what we'll call the traditional ideal of sin. You may not go steal it. You may not become a con artist. But you're going to stop trusting him, and you're now going to go into your fantasizing and hope of gaining all this money. It's not normal sin in the way we think of it, but you're going to stop trusting him. Temptation to sin, not trusting God to take care of your needs. Many Christians, they go through some of them. Many Christians are tempted and go through it. Many Christians marry. Many people marry just for money. Has nothing to do with the plan of God. Has nothing to do with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Has nothing to do with any of these things. Except one thing. Money. Many women marry. And I'm so sorry for this throughout history. But many women marry the wrong person for security. Has nothing to do with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't even have to do it. It just has to do with money. Security. Make the decision. Many people remain enslaved. Give away your life for money. Let your parents control you all through your life. Because they have lots of money, they control you. Let someone else control you. Maybe it's in a family thing, just a corporation type of principle. But you're never happy. But they control you because of the desire you have for money. There's movies and things where people just, you know, they rebel against the family and they're considered the black sheep. All they want to do is go live a life. That's what they want to do. They don't want to be controlled by that little apple that's out there, hanging out there, keep egging you on and controlling you. Any multitude of the people that give up their life for that desire for money. Multitude of people. And only after, you know, they reach an age, 60s and 70s, look back. I didn't live. I did not live my life. I was controlled through my whole life. I did it. Now, a lot of times they want to get angry at their parents, angry at the company, angry at whatever it is, angry at their husband, angry at the wife, angry at this. People, you can't do that. This is inside of you. You can't blame Satan here. Satan may bring a temptation and a snare. No. He didn't make you eat it. He didn't make you go after it. He didn't make you give your life up. A multitude of people will live their whole life orchestrated by somebody else, and the reason they're able to do it is because they control the money, and you want that money. And since you want that money, you let them control and orchestrate your life. It's not of the plan. It's the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's what you desire. What we're talking about right here in this passage. Am I going in and out? I think I am. Sir, does it sound all right coming through there? Sound like I'm coming in and out. Maybe I change the battery. Okay. You want to give me a battery? I appreciate it. So, this is a temptation. Now, question. Why do you fall into temptation? Why do you fall into that? Why do we fall into that temptation? Well, because you desire to get rich. And then look at the end of verse 9. It'll tell you more. Many foolish harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. This is why we will fall for the temptation. Now the next trap. Let's look at for you. Let me show you your life. Here's your life if you desire to get rich. You fall into temptation. And now let's take a look at the second one. A snare. A temptation and now a snare. One of the biggest causes of stress, anxiety, and depression is right here. Christians fall for so many traps, so many snares, and people, when they don't work out, stress, anxiety, and depression set in because it isn't working the way you want. But often when you're in this trap, you can't even get out. You don't even want to get out. You're in it. And the anxiety and frustration grow. Give me one more thing about it. Okay, let's see if this one is going to work a little better. Now, the snare thing that we're going to be ready to look at, as I'm saying, we're going to add this into our study of stress, anxiety, and depression. Because you get into this snare, let's go back to my example, you get into where someone is controlling your life, and they so control your life, it be your parent, maybe your husband, wife, company, whoever it is that has this money, and they're holding it over you, and as you continue to live day by day, year by year, as you lose your life, anger, frustration, anxiety, depression start setting in. And that is going to intensify your desire for more and more money. So there are many snares and traps that are just going to cause all these things to occur. The Greek word for snare, trap fastened by a noose, trick, a strategy, a snare. Those are the things that the word means. I'm not going to give you 10 points and all that. I'm going to talk about the word. But that's what the word possessed means. It means a trap. And that trap is fastened by a noose. You don't see the noose. If it's a well-laid trap, you don't see the noose. You don't see what's going to happen. All you see is what's laid out as bait. And we could spend a long time. And we're going to have to come back and look at a snare in our study of stress, anxiety, and depression on Wednesday night. But this word alarms you that objects, instruments, are means used by man, used by Satan, to feed into your desire, to just lay out this little trap. You already come there with the desire. It's already in you. Now they display these various things out, objects, instruments, or means that have the specific function of entrapping you. That's what they're designed to do. And they're not for your spiritual benefit by any means. These traps are put together by Satan, by the world, by other believers. And the reason you fall for them is the reason you walk right into these traps is because of the desire of the flesh to be rich. This is what happens to it. The 3 points I'd like you to remember in regard to the word snare. 3 things about this word snare. First of all, let's just take the word. It is a snare. It is a trap for entrapping you. And what's laid out there is how you're going to get money. More and more money, and get rich. Secondly, danger. Risk. Here, the function of the use of the objects are means putting you into danger, putting you into risk. What kind of risk? Not always money, people. It's not always money. The risk may be your spiritual life. The risk may be walking by faith in the Spirit. The risk may be being led of the Holy Spirit. One reason a lot of people will not walk by faith in the Holy Spirit is they walk by this desire of money, and that controls their daily decisions. That controls what they do and where they go and how they do it, everything they do. It's not controlled by the leading of the Holy Spirit. There's this little thing going on in my soul, in my mind, more and more money. And that's why they deal with each other, husbands and wives, and their whole life, their family relationship. It has nothing to do with love, much less the Holy Spirit. It has to do with money. It has to do with the control of money. Now, people, don't overreact. I've already said this, just a little, call it a disclaimer, a little footnote. Not everybody's rich is bad and wrong, and there's nothing wrong with being rich. It's wonderful. It's in the plan of God. Not everybody with money is horrible. There are some extremely wonderful people in family relationships, all relationships, who are very wealthy. We're talking here the desire for it. We're talking here about those who have this little burning desire to be rich. And it puts their whole life in danger. There is a risk. Every snare is a risk. And you better beware of it. And then the third principle of this word, control. That's key. Control. Rule. To rule you. To use this instrument, this snare, as a means for gaining control over your life. And this is what Satan orchestrates when he wants to gain control over your life. This is what people orchestrate. A parent, a husband, a wife, whoever has this great money, if they fit into this mode, they orchestrate this snare to control you. That's their objective, to control. They can't give and just give and let it go. Everything is controlled. But I want to emphasize, please don't get your mind focused on them. If you find yourself entrapped by that, that's not their fault. You're the one who has the desire that allowed them to do it. Your excuse cannot be, they laid this trap out. They controlled my whole life. I never got to do what I wanted to do. I never had this. You control us. No, no, no. You have the desire. This is inside of you. I'm talking with you. I'm not talking to them. This isn't talking to people with money. You understand the difference? Pastors is not talking about those with money. He's talking about those who desire it. Now, the one who has it may desire it and still fit this mode. But we're looking at you and me. We have this desire for money. And there's all kinds of snares. Satan's got them. The world's got them. Christians got them. Unbelievers have them. And we lay these little snares out, and we live our whole life, and we look back over a section of our life, and we see how we've been pulled into it. But always remember that third point, control. Not give you something, but the desire is to gain control over you. To gain control is their objective, and you fall into it because you fall into the snare. I'm not up to them. I'm not even talking to them. That'd be a whole other sermon, whole other study. We're not talking about those who do these things. We're talking about you who fall, once you fall into them. We're not talking about the guy who sets up the trap. We're talking about those of us who walk into the trap, walk into the snare. You have a choice. Please remember that. Stress, anxiety, depression is a choice. You choose to be depressed. You choose to walk into this snare. You can have a choice. And the snare is set up. So the principle of your future, if you desire to get rich, and you desire to have all of these things, here's the word. People, this is not a philosopher. You understand this? I still believe, and I said it several times, seeing Philip here this morning, as we talked about a Greek classical Greek. If you don't want to live a spiritual life, set the Bible aside. I'm very serious. If you do not want to live a spiritual life, set the Bible aside and go study Aristotle. He will tell you how to live a wonderful life. No Holy Spirit, no God, no Christ, just how to live a wonderful life. If you want to live a spiritual life, go to this book and walk by faith. What we're studying here is not a philosopher. This is God, people. I'm going to ask you a question. Those of you who come on Revelation on Tuesday night, do you believe God can tell you what's going to happen at the end time? Do you believe God knows and controls and has it all set up and what we study is going to happen, that God is sufficient to do that? Then do you think he's sufficient to tell you what's going to happen if you have this inner burning to be rich? Or is it somehow that, no, he can do that, but he's not right here. This won't happen to me. I'm different. I won't fall into temptation and this snare. It's not going to happen to me. People, wait a minute. Then let's set the book of Revelation aside, and in fact, let's set aside all prophecy. Because if God says he isn't right here, if God doesn't understand these things, he's not sufficient to be God. So just lay it down to what's going to happen. Let's take a whole look at the whole momentum of what he says is going to happen to you. You're going to fall into temptation and a snare, many foolish and harmful desires, which will plunge men into ruin and destruction. Oh, but that's not me. This is God, who understands our soul and our makeup. So if you desire to get rich, you will fall into snares and traps. Designed to do what? Designed to take control of your life. People, please understand, what God wants you to do is walk by faith in the Spirit. But as long as you want to be in control somewhere, you're going to fall into the control trap, and one of the greatest desires of the flesh is to be in control. And being in control is an illusion. It's a physical illusion that man has. I'm in control of my life. No, you're not. You're not in control. It's an illusion. And that's why very few Christians will ever get to walk by faith. Because to walk by simply trusting God, you're no longer in control. He has to be. Those four circles that we study, they all put you in control. Moral righteousness, you're in control. Learning doctrine, learn doctrine and apply doctrine, you're in control. All these religious ways appeal to us. Why? Appeal to the flesh. Why? Because we're still in control. When you just say, I'm a walk by faith in the Spirit, you're no longer in control. And we don't like that. The flesh can't handle that at all. The flesh doesn't mind any form of religion where you get to remain in control, where it gets to guide and rule. When you start talking about walking by faith, you're no longer in control. And this whole myth of money is designed to take control of your life, and that's what it's going to do. And by the way, let me add something here. You might get rich. You just might get rich. But again, you may not. But whether you get rich or not, was it worth what you sold out for? Was it worth it? Was it worth the spiritual life, trusting Him? Was it worth your fellowship with God, your liberty in the Holy Spirit? See, the whole issue of our spirituality is freedom, liberty. Walk in the freedom where Christ has set you free. But when you are enticed by money, it takes you away from it. Same thing, I could do this from the political realm in America. We live in a free country. Multitude of people have given up their life because they want money. And that's how they live their whole life. That's what life is about. So they have taken their freedom and have become enslaved. It will enslave you. And it will enslave you in the spiritual realm. So the word snare is a beautiful word for seeing what happens to so many Christians. What happens to their lives. Unfortunately, the time you get into the snare, it's very difficult to get out of it. It's very difficult to break out of that snare, to break out of that trap, and to take care of those desires in the spirit of their life and to move on. Something really wonderful and precious to you has to die, and what has to die is this desire to get rid. It has to die before you ever will move into the spirit-filled life. Now, there are several kinds of snares. Snares to make more money, opportunities that look good and great, and what they eventually do, control your life. There's the snares of having money, family rules, a man rules, a woman rules, a company rules, whatever it is. They start ruling you. People, I'm not going to sit here and go over a multitude, but the snares are of every kind that you can imagine. And all they're designed to do is take control of your life so that you do not walk by faith in the Spirit. and the flesh desires to be in control. So the flesh thinks, if I have more of the earth's money, I'm more in control. Control is an illusion. You're not in control. That's one of the first things you got to realize. You're not in control. You may think you are, but you're not. You're not in control. Howard Hughes. Some of you might remember him. Billionaire. Not a millionaire. Billionaire. And this was when there weren't very many of them. The man was linked to the point of fanatic of being in control. He'd have a room. It was completely pure in his mind. And the story is told, he called up one of his top aides on Sunday morning and made him come to his place. And you know why? Because there was a fly buzzing around in his environment. And the top aide had to come and get it. People, control is an illusion. Walking by faith is reality of who you are in Christ. That is reality. But control for the believer is an illusion because you're never in control. Control for the unbeliever is even a greater illusion. He's not in control in any way. Satan's in control. You're not in control. So the best way to live is to get in line with doing what you are in Christ, and that is to live by faith. There are snares of the money myth. The snare that money is your self-worth. The snare that money is evaluation of who and what you are. Remember Satan's lie. Satan's lie. My self-worth equals my performance plus others' opinion of me. Taught from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Mosaic law, and all through Scripture for those who want to see that in that respect. That's why preachers preach it. But it's a lie. And if your self-worth is made up of and out of money, what an unbelievable snare you have fallen into. And look how it's going to control your whole life. It's going to control whether you're happy. It's going to control whether you're satisfied with yourself. You have sold out. Ever having happiness in Christ and a spirit-filled life, and what God has a plan for you to be content in it, because your whole self-worth is gauged by money, where you live, what you drive. And this is so prominent, I want to say in America, but it's been this way all through history. From the time of Job on, even before that. But there's my self-worth. My self-worth is somehow related to my ability of money. Making it, having it, spending it, controlling by it, whatever it is. And the people who live their whole life in that realm, and they've lost their whole life. They've never lived. Not one minute did they ever walk in the spirit of their life. They don't know what that's like. I just hope before leaving planet Earth, I hope that every Christian at least enjoys walking in the Spirit for 5 consecutive minutes before leaving Earth. Get to experience that. But many won't even get that because they're always in control. They want to be in control, which means they're under control. Anytime you think you're in control, you're under control. That's why we want to be under control of the Holy Spirit. But you're never in control, people. You think you are. This is why being content with who you and I are in Christ is the removal of stress, anxiety, and depression. Being who we are in Christ, living who we are in Christ. So let's start with a few points in summary of this one. If you desire to be rich, you will fall into temptations and snares. If you desire to be rich, you will fall into temptations and snares. Point two, let's take a look as one who sets up many of these snares. And it's right here near us. Look at 2 Timothy 2:26. 2 Timothy 2:26. Who sets up some of these snares? And it can't be that far away. Just a few pages. You're in 1 Timothy 6. All we want to do is go to 2 Timothy 2. It should be one page. Two at the most. My large print, 4 or 5. All right. 2 Timothy 2:26. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. The snare of the devil. Now, people, please remember, he set it up, but you can't blame him. You wanted it. All he did was play on your desire. If you'd have been walking in the Spirit, you wouldn't be there. It's like trying to blame people. Blame that horrible ballroom angel. She made me fall. No, she didn't make you fall. Not by a long shot. That horrible rich man. Boy, he just let me know you set yourself with your own desires to go there. I'm not at all vindicating Satan. Setting up the snare is wrong, but I'm talking about it from our perspective, people. The only reason he can be successful is because we have that desire when we walk in. Why are the notorious used car salesmen so successful? I'm going to find a hot deal. And he's got a hot deal for you. Grandma drove this car, and now she can just go to church and the grocery store. It's a hot deal. It only costs you, $2,000, and it's all yours. Oh, man, I got a hot deal. So you get around the corner, and the warranty runs out after the first month. But why would we be able to do that? My desire. I just go right into it. So, the snare of Satan is not the only one who sets up the snare, but this is part of his strategy to keep us from walking by faith. To gain control over your life, people, he sets up the snare of money, the myth of money. It'll control your life, people. You won't control your life, it'll control your life. Instead of the Spirit of the living God, money now does. It controls your life. Point three. As we have seen, a snare is designed to gain control of your life to destroy you. To gain control of your life to destroy you. I'm going to read to you to write down, but let me read to you Psalm 69:22. May their table before them become a snare, and when they are in peace, may it become a trap. See what he's saying? You want these things so bad that you'll give up your life for them, and pretty soon your life is gone. It's destroyed. Proverbs 7:23. Until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. So we go to that snare. We go to that laid out desire. We come to it with this desire for money. The snare is there. Satan's got it set up. The world has it set up. There are a lot of little funny examples, but people, I'm not talking about the funny examples. I'm talking about how we all really fall for it. And if you've ever been in Europe, they really do. They rub the sleeve and they got 15 or 20 watches on. They'll sell it to you for $10, but they're really $150 watches. Here's a Rolex. I'll give it to you for $25. Why would you do that? Because it's desire. We want to blame him? Well, we blame him. He's wrong. Not good business, all that. He's not a nice Christian either. But I'm talking about you who bought it. Who gave him the $10 for, for the watch. It isn't worth a dime. It looks pretty. Oh, it looks so pretty. It's even got little things that look like diamonds in it. For the 12 and the 6. And that's what you want. And you want it so bad. See, there it is. And we get so angry that we were taken advantage of. But our desire set us up. Now, let's take things like that to every day in life. How we will sell out our whole life for the snare of money, like the bird. This is the principle from SAD, from our study of stress, anxiety, and depression, people. If you are guided by your flesh desires, you will be ruined by your flesh desires. If you're guided by them, if they're going to guide you in life, we'll see this in our study of stress, if you're guided by these, they will destroy you. I know, had you known, you would not have gone into the snare. You would not have gone into the trap. If I'd have known it was a trap, if you'd have known all of that. But the problem was we're not content with who we are in Christ. We're not content with what God provides. And we always have this desire. And then what happens is so often you look back and the life's over. And you look back and see how your whole life has been involved in this fact. Controlled. Controlled. And people, you want so much to hate and to blame the system. Blame the husband. Blame the parents. Blame the company. But you can't do that. You've walked in with this desire. And when you do that, you sell your life out. You fall into this snare. God is telling us that. You fall into the trap. You fall into the snare because you've allowed your desires to lead you. Point four. Satan is not the only one who lays a snare. Others lay snares, both believer and unbeliever. Let's have a little fun. Turn to Psalm 140, please. Psalm 140. Not that men do not fall for it, but multitudes of history of women who married because the snare of money was set up there only to have their whole life controlled. And some never get out of it. Psalm 140. Verses 1 through 5. Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who devise evil things in their hearts. They continually stir up wars. They sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to trip up my feet. There's the trap. The proud have hidden a trap, a snare for me, and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set snares for me. People, you've got to realize the world and Satan and his forces, that network he has, all are going to work on one something that's already inside of our flesh nature. But that's not who you are. Be content with who you are in Christ. And these things won't happen. Look at Psalm 142. Psalm 142. I cry aloud with my voice up to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaints before him. I declare my trouble before him. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, thou didst know my path and the way where I walked. They have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. I'm going to end this up in a few minutes with a point, bring this to another point about our God. I want to talk to you about God here. Talk to you about God. Because there are a lot of people who will come under the snare and the temptation, the desire to be rich. And a segment of your life, if not your whole life, but a segment of your life gone, controlled. Never walked by faith in the Spirit. Never lived the way that God would has laid out a wonderful plan for you. So what kind of God do we have? Well, is our God this kind of God? Well, that's what you wanted. You got what you wanted, so that's it. No, people, that's no kind of God you have. At any moment, and any moment, you see you're in this snare and in this trap, you have a choice. You have a choice. Look what David is saying. Look at this. Look at the tone and the temperament of the psalm. Look at verse chapter 140. Rescue me. What is he saying? I'm already there. I have fallen. So now knows where to turn. Don't think, well, it was my doing, so I guess I have to sow what I reap. Christians love that one. They don't understand it in text, but anyway. No, people, that's not the kind of God you have. You find yourself entrapped in the snares and depression and stress and anxiety are there, you have a choice. You do have a choice. And you may be very weak and so involved in this trap, but you have a choice. And David's telling us, I cried aloud, verse chapter 142, I cried aloud with my voice to the Lord. He now knows where to go. This has just gotten him in greater trouble. The desire got him to fall into the snare, and now the snare has really messed up his life and controls his life. So it took all of that to finally cry out with a loud voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. It goes to the Lord. You have this choice you can make to get back into the spirit-filled life. Point five. Here's one for you. Not only does Satan lay out a snare to control your life, to get you away from walking by faith, keep you from trusting God, not only do others, believers and unbelievers, do this, but I want to tell you something. God himself leaves snares around you. Now his purpose of his snare is to cause you to walk by faith in him, to continue to trust him. Please look with me at Joshua 23. Joshua 23. Joshua chapter 23. Okay, Joshua 23:13 starts out very important here. It starts out in Joshua 23. Amber, is that the book that we write in? That's okay. Joshua 23:13. Look what starts from our study in stress, anxiety, and depression, and in our study of the myth of money. No, mind as a man thinketh. Know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you. Oh God, please take away all the traps and snares to get rich. Remove all the lotteries. Remove all rich people. Remove all these things from before me, oh Lord, and I won't sin that way. Okay? It's all God's good. Know with certainty he's not going to do that. Okay? He's not going to do that. This is beautiful. Oh Lord, please remove all blinds from the face of the earth. And men will never sin again. Know with certainty he's not going to do it. Not only is he not going to do that, he's going to leave brunettes, redheads, and everybody around. So, this is knowing. He's not going to do that. I just wish I could walk through life knowing that God has removed all the snares and all the traps. Not done that. Okay. Know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive out these nations out from before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap to you. Why would God do that? Why would God cause his gospel to be do and do, do and do? Why would God leave this? You're going to trust him. Are you content with what I give you? Or are you going to go after it yourself? And a trap to you, a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes. Ooh, what a horrible picture. Think of that. Thorns in your eyes. That's what happens when you fall into these snares. You can't see. And not only can you not see, what you see hurts. It looked so good to begin with. But now, blood runs from your eyes. Until you perish from off the good land which the Lord your God has freely given you. Okay, point six. Another principle about many snares and traps to get rich, they often come suddenly. They come suddenly. They look so good. And you've got to make up your mind. Look, I need the money right now. It's a hot deal. I mean, man, if you wait another day, I've got to go somewhere else. It's going to be over. It's a hot deal right now. You got to marry me right now, because if you don't marry me now, I'm gone. Whatever the scenario is, suddenly, Ecclesiastes 9:12. Moreover, man does not know his time. Like fish caught in a treacherous net, and birds trapped in a snare. So the sons of men are ensnared at an evil time when it suddenly falls on them, the trap. But it looks so good. It looked like it would really bring me in some money. It looked good. It will answer all my problems. People, learn something about a snare. This is profound. It's got to look good. It's got to look good. If it doesn't look good, it's not a good snare. That's how you gauge whether a man's a good con or not. Who's going to be con if it isn't even a good deal? It doesn't even look good. Some of us overthink. Look, I'm going to be honest with you, it's a broken down, old, run down, old car. Oh, there must be something hidden in there. He's not telling me something. I mean, we want to be taken. But getting to the point, a con or the snare has got to look good. He has got to look good, ladies. The parents' life that they lay out for you has got to look good. You don't have to work. You don't have to do this. It looks good. If you just do all of this for your life, the rest of your life, you'll have this and this and this. People, please look at Amos. He's one of the minor prophets. So I'm going to wait till you find it. Look at the table of contents if you have to. No problem. Look for Amos. Comes right after Andy. Okay. Amos. Amos chapter 3, verse 5. This church I grew up in, I preacher didn't appreciate that kind of joke. Amos chapter 3. This is classic. And this is one you want to put on your refrigerator door. Amos 3:5. Does a bird fall into a trap on the ground when there's no bait in it? People, even a bird knows better than that. I'm not going there. There's nothing there. What do you do when you've got a little mouse in it? You put out of this mouse trap. Just put it out there with nothing on it. See what you catch. Ha! Put some peanut butter on that sucker. Put some cheese with peanut butter on it. Ha! You get two or three. You gotta have the trap laid. Does a bird fall into a trap on the ground when there is no bait in it? Does a trap spring up from the earth when it captures nothing at all? People, it's got to have something, the trap that's laid out for you to control your life, to take you away from walking by faith, to be content with who you are in Christ. It's got to look good. If it doesn't look good, it isn't going to work. You know what the hell's up? You actually bought some swampland in Florida, you dummy? No, I bought this beautiful plantation area in Florida, and it had trees, and it had all this. They showed me pictures, and it looked good. Till we get there. Until what, people? Until it controls you. Until it controls you. You married for money. It looks good at this end. But once it controls you, parents controlling your life, it looks good. Until you look back, it controls you. The company controlling your life, the lottery, whatever you're putting all your money into, looks so good. People, a snare has got to look good. That's the definition. And Satan knows every one of us, and he knows how he's going to lay it out. How he's going to lay out this desire for money, this desire for wealth, this desire to have this, and it will solve my problems and all of this, and I don't need to walk by faith. I don't need to be content with who I am in Christ. And here's his way out. Here's the way out of not walking by faith. Here you'll have control over your life. You'll have all the money you want. You'll have the money to take control of your own life. Then why do I want to walk by faith when I can control my own life over here? And you're sucked right into the snare. To destruction and ruin. Point seven. You do not have to fall into these snares to get rich. But if you do, when you do, God is not the kind of God who's going to hold that against you. God is not the kind of God who's going to hold that against you. I just felt like I had to put this in. Because if you do fall into this snare, at any moment, what kind of God do we have? People, is not the kind of God that says, well, you did that yourself, so you just suffer. You didn't want me, you wanted that, go for it. Don't come to me after you're hurting. I won't be here. People will do that to you. People will do that a lot. Maybe parents, maybe friends, some of other relatives, companies, bosses, employees. But not to God, people. Your ways are not my ways are not your ways. He's not going to be like that. He's not going to sit back when you and I cry like David did in the Psalms that we've already read. Oh, yeah, now you cried to me, David. You didn't want to trust me for that when you left me. Huh? You didn't come to me. So, oh, you'll come to me now, huh, David? Huh? I'm out of here. No, that's not to God, people. He's a God who's just standing there. That's why he leaves some of the traps and snares. That's why he makes the gospel sound like do and do, do and do, so that if that's what you want, you'll go that way and you'll fall and be taken snare, taken captive, and what? Then you might come to me in grace. Because that's all I want to do, God says. I want to give you my grace. I want to give you a life where you'll be totally content, totally happy, and secure, a life free of stress, free of anxiety, free of depression, and it is possible if we make the choice to walk by faith in the Spirit, give Him control of our lives. But we don't want to give up the control. That's why we want money. The more money I have, the more I'm in control. The less money, as I get less and less money, more and more people control my life. So if I have more money, I'm in control, and control is what I want, and control is a myth, people. It's an illusion. Please understand that. And I know you won't, because the flesh cannot comprehend. It's got to be in control. It realizes its frailty. And it wants to be more and more in control of others, of self, of environment. And it's why very few Christians will ever walk by faith. Because they just got to hold on a little bit to be in control. Instead of just trusting Him and letting Him guide the path. The flesh wants to guide the path. The flesh wants to control. Look with me at Psalm 91. Now we apply this principle to Psalm 140 and 142, but let's look at Psalm 91. What kind of God we have. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 4, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. People, you can move there anytime you wish. Any moment you desire, and the distress, anxiety, and depression, and you make a decision, I don't want to be here. I see what happens when I want to be in control of my life. I'm going to let God be in control. Verse 2, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I don't trust money. I don't trust the world. I trust you. For it is He who delivers you from the snare. People who delivers you. Out from Him. Out from Him. Not just avoiding Him. Now, He does deliver that. You walk in the Spirit, you won't go into the trap. But He will deliver you once you're trapped. That's what kind of God He is. Out from the snare of the trapper. Who's the trapper? Ultimately Satan. But please remember, when I say that, your desires is what gave him his advantage. He is the trapper. The world is the trapper. But all they're doing is feeding on your desires. Okay. Verse 4, whose God will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. Refuge. Have some coming where you are. Here's where you can go. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. Get it? How beautiful it is. His faithfulness. Not yours. Not yours. His. All you and I bring to this is, I will trust in the Lord. That's all you and I bring. He is faithful to do what he does in that respect. Please look with me at Psalm 124. Psalm 124. It's just amazing how many Christians in America are enslaved to money and to the desire of it. Psalm 124 and the messes we make in our lives. But what I'm showing you here is you can make a mess of your life. People, God hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't abandoned you. You know, I use an example as I dealt with a couple of families that called. Another stage we talk. Let me just talk a moment about bankruptcy and our founding fathers to show you the principle I'm trying to show you here with our God. A lot of people are brought up with the idea, well, if you file bankruptcy, you're a loser and you're no good and you're a bum and all of these kinds of things, and they love to judge and slander and make you feel all that kind of low and sickness. You know, I love our founding fathers. They came up with that because they stood back and saw for a moment, you know, there will be Americans, citizens of this country, who will get themselves in such a horrible jam, they won't even want to wake up in the morning. And we never want that to happen to an American. So we're going to design what you and I call bankruptcy. For these individuals, we're going to make it difficult. There are things that happen and can happen after you do it and all, but we don't want our citizens that they just dread getting up in the morning. That's not what America's about. So even our forefathers understood this principle. How much more your God? Oh, you got yourself in that snare, you get out. That's not what kind of God he is, people. Not by a long shot. He's a God who cares. Chapter 124, let's look, if you will, please, verses 6 through 8. Psalm 124, 6 through 8. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us to be torn by their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the trapper. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Do you see that he has been caught, though? Do you understand that? He's been caught. He's in the snare. What kind of God do you have? He'll get you out. If you get into the snare of this money myth of money, and you finally decide one day, I don't want this. I want to be in the plan of God. This is what kind of God you have. He's right there ready. Blessed be the Lord. And they had a wonderful place that you get an idea of what blessed means. It means praise and thanksgiving. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us to be torn by their teeth. He's not that kind of God. Well, you got there, you get out. No, that's not our God. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the trapper. There's that trapper again. He's always there, people. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's what kind of God he is. Look with me at 141. Psalm 141. We'll close with this. Psalm 141. And we're going to read, those of you who are writing it down, we're going to read 8 through 10. But just note verse 1. I meant to do that on the previous psalm. But look at verse 1. O Lord, I call upon thee. Come to me fast, because I'm really in trouble. That's what he's saying. Hasten to me. I am in trouble. Come quickly. Give ear to my voice when I call to thee. Okay. Verse 8. My eyes are toward thee, O Lord the God. O God the Lord. In thee I take refuge. Do not leave me defenseless. Keep me from the jaws of the trap which they have set before me, and from the snares of those who do iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, but I passed by safely. So what kind of God do we have? Is it trapped by the snare of money? This is my happiness. This is my security. This is will give me control of my life, control of my destiny, control of my environment, control of others. I'll be in control. And it's set up so well for us in America. When you wake up one day and there's stress, anxiety, depression, and you're losing your own life. You've lost control of it. While you thought you were gaining control, you're losing control. Just the opposite of what you wanted. All you have to do at any point is make a choice. I don't want this anymore. I want Him in control of my life. I want to walk by faith. I'm going to trust Him. It'll be tough. Control freaks have the worst trouble walking by faith. People that got to be in control, it's the most difficult battle they will ever engage in. Learning Bible doctrine, being morally righteous, serving, giving, doing, those are all that they will succeed overwhelmingly because it keeps them in control. To walk by faith, to just trust Him, to give Him control of your life, that's a whole other deal. He's in control. He will guide me. He will direct my paths. He will satisfy my needs. He will do His will in me. And when we reach that point, people, you're going to find the stress, the anxiety, and the depression that come with being in control and wanting to have more and more money to control just goes into the shadows. Each passing day, the stress passes away. But you learn to walk by faith in the Spirit and just trust Him and leave it with Him. Your life, your destiny, your journey, your needs, daily needs, whatever. If we learn to walk by faith and not go into the midst of money. I don't even know where to put. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. We just smile and stand amazed. How we can mess up our lives, how we can fall for the snares and the traps and the temptations and the desires. And you're just standing there, ready to pull us out, ready to give to our souls peace and contentment. Father, pray that the Spirit will now take these things we've seen, cause them to become a reality in our lives, so that we will be warned away from the snares of money, the temptations of the desire for more money, that we might give You control of our lives to bring glory to You and Your Son. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.